On the 3 o'clock docket, we have adversary number 18-3173, the committee versus Garden Oaks Maintenance Organization. We'll take appearances, please. Mr. Rubio.
Good afternoon, Judge Jones. Charles Rubio with the law firm Dime McCarthy. With me in the courtroom is R.J. Shannon from my law firm. We also have all the committee members and looks like some of their family members as well. And I'll just go ahead and announce them. We have Gary Ingram. We have Sue Schmidt. You want to raise your hand. Peter Chang, Cheryl Luck, and Patricia Merkel.
All right. Thank you, folks, and welcome.
Okay.
Mr. Patterson.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Johnny Patterson here on behalf of the debtor.
All right. We still on the same track that we were when we were last together?
We are, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Rubio, you want first shot?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Do you have a presentation available?
Sure. Thank you. Thanks. And let's see, how are we connecting up?
Connecting through.
So you're using the VGA port?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me see. Right. It does not see the computer. So are you Windows or Mac?
This is the Windows.
And so are you redirecting, you know, with the key combination out the port?
I put this up to an external
monitor
all the time, so I don't change it.
Okay.
I think that the presentation.
Well, I want you to have a shot at doing that. So what were you hooked up to? So are you plugged into the table? Yeah, that's what I was worried about. All right, so we got one end into your computer, and where's the other end?
The other end is going into input.
Okay.
There's a monitor and input.
Our system will end this conference in 5 minutes. To extend this call for 1 hour, your conference has been extended for 60 minutes.
Okay, so hold still just a second. Yeah, it just doesn't see you. And so we're coming out of your output port. You're using a cable that plugs directly into input, correct?
Yeah, that's going directly into input.
Okay. And bear with me, just because I can't come down and look at it. So the cable on the other end is a male cable plugging into a female port, correct? This no, not on yours, on the other end. Right. See, it sees something. I think we're going to have to go with the just the hard copy. Alternatively, I mean, I'm perfectly happy. Do you have Join Me loaded onto your computer?
Join Me? I think it's just a application on here to get to it. I have a thumb drive with it.
But you don't need it. If you've got Join Me loaded, then I'll give you control and you can broadcast it out through the internet as well as all the screens. Well, you don't have to.
Uh-huh.
If you will, so have you gone to Join Me?
Yeah, join.me.
Okay, but you need to, you haven't plugged in yet because I don't see you.
Is there a specific?
Sure,
specific
Judge Jones is the password.
Is that the join a meeting? Do I type in Judge Jones?
Yes, sir. Okay, there you are. I'm going to pass the presenter role to you. It'll come to you. If you haven't downloaded the presenter app, it'll do it for you. You should see a message. All right. So that will download. As soon as it does, then you will have control of all of the screens, and you just run your PowerPoint, and whatever is on your screen, it will broadcast out. So it tells me that the app is still downloading on your computer. Is that consistent? There you go. You're now the presenter. You have it. So hold on just 1 second. So you're now broadcasting. And tell you what, can we turn the big screen pointed? Because I've got one here. I see it. Can you just point it out so folks in the audience can see? Folks, is that better?
Yeah.
I know it's not perfect, but all right.
All right, thank you, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. So we're here today to determine the legal effects of decisions and rulings made in a state court and appellate state court in the Garden Oaks Maintenance Organization versus Chang case. Mm-hmm. The reason and the effects that this could have on this estate and more broadly are that it has a direct impact on the claim allowance process and objection process. First, there's already 200 claims filed on the docket, and the vast majority of those claims relate to requests for repayment of their transfer fees that have been paid. So if the authority to collect, if they had authority to collect, this could serve as the main basis to eliminate virtually all the claims, since there wouldn't be really any grounds to reimburse the transfer fees. But if they don't have any authority to collect, then the debtor committee and other parties in interest would resort to other grounds for claim objections, really other than the lack of authority to collect the transfer fees. In addition to that, it's going to have a direct effect on the Chapter 11 plan process. Under 1129A3, the plan has to be proposed in good faith and not by any means forbidden by law. So there is an issue there if, you know, we're trying to circumvent some sort of state law and the requirements there to have authority to collect transfer fees. And also under 1129A11, just the feasibility requirement for a plan could be implicated here by the effects of these rulings. And finally, there are some homeowners involved in trying to form a new property owners association, and simply by virtue of having a purported existing property owners association, it could prevent those homeowners from taking the steps to actually form a new one and replace the current Garden Oaks Maintenance Organization. So the issue really stems from Texas Property Code Section 2015, and this section, it's in the presentation, I highlighted the relevant provisions. The first one is: a committee that does not affect a successful petition within the time period provided by this chapter is dissolved by operation of law, and you're going to see why that's relevant in a second. But the next sentence: a new committee for that subdivision may not be validly created under this chapter before the fifth anniversary after the date of dissolution of the previous committee. And so that is the operative provision here that was referenced by the Court of Appeals and the Texas State Court. The Court of Appeals provided some analysis as to, you know, why, you know, the purpose behind it. I mean, we really don't need the purpose. The statute is pretty clear as to the requirement, but it does say that the literal language of the statute can be viewed as a legislative attempt to require as a rather significant amount of time to pass before petition committees can reform to alter the governance and restrictions applicable to subdivisions. So the facts are set forth by the relevant facts as set forth by the 14th Court of Appeals. It stated that in May 2003, property owners within the subdivision filed a notice of formation of petition committee in order to create and operate a property owners association pursuant to sections 2015 and 2046 of the Texas Property Code. The May 2000 petition committee failed to file a successful petition within 1 year of the notice, and the committee was dissolved by operation of law. In July 2001, three property owners within the subdivision filed another notice of formation of petition committee in order to create and operate a POA pursuant to sections 2015 and 2046 of the Texas Property Code. The notice attached an exhibit caption, Amendment of Deed Restrictions. In June 2002, the three individuals who filed the July 2001 notice filed a petition to amend restrictions to create a homeowners association and certificate of compliance with Texas Property Code, Section 204. The petition attached and the amendment exhibit and stated that it would be incorporated into the deed restrictions. So those were the relevant facts as set forth by the 14th Circuit Court of Appeals, and this timeline is just there to basically walk you through as far as the relevant dates here. So first you have the May 2000 Notice of Formation of Petition Committee, and by operation of law as stated in, by the 14th Circuit Court of Appeals, that petition committee dissolved May 2001. And then you have in July of 2001, you have this new July 2001 Notice of Formation of Petition Committee, which is the petition that the debtor is based off of its authority to collect transfer fees. And then the time period, so 11 months transpired at that, during that time they petitioned the community and they filed the results of their petition in June 2002 purporting to amend the deed restrictions to include the transfer fees in there. So the issue really stems at least from the 2002 Texas Property Code Section 201-5AF that we just looked at, was the time period between the dissolution of that first one in May 2001 to the filing of the one in July 2001. There wasn't a sufficient gap in time to make it valid. So the conclusions that were reached by the 14th Circuit Court of Appeals, it says that the record reflects that in July 2001, there was an attempt to form a new petition committee just months instead of at least 5 years after the dissolution of the previous May 2000 petition committee. The July 2001 petition committee was not validly formed either under Section 201-5 or 204-6. Therefore, the July 2001 notice of formation as well as the attached amendment exhibit is invalid and had no force in effect as to the Changs. One argument that you're going to hear the debtor make is that the decision is limited to the Changs. First, from just a pure literal perspective and language perspective, I think there's actually a valid argument here that the language, the invalidity is separate and apart from having no force and effect as to the Changs. But even beyond that, I think it's somewhat intellectually dishonest to say that it's limited to Changs when the findings are exclusively related to the timing of the filing of the petition committee and has nothing to do with any specific facts related to the Changs. At the end of the day, this is a problem that the debtor is going to confront throughout, even whether it can emerge on a reorganized basis. Presumably, I don't know this definitively, but presumably, even if the reorganized debtor were able to emerge and move on, that homeowners would still assert this as a defense, just like the Changs did in subsequent proceedings. So I don't think that there's anything that necessarily can come out of a Chapter 11 plan to resolve this issue, and this would be constantly confronted by this organization on a go-forward basis. The filing of the bankruptcy case itself is somewhat of a performative admission by the debtors that this is a problem. The debtors note in their papers and in their first day papers that this is a basis for them filing the case. They do try to preserve the defense that it was limited to the Changs. But if that was truly the case and it was limited to the Changs, then there would be no need to even be in this court. They would go on their way and they would collect transfer fees, and that would not be an issue. So I do think there's something to be said about the debtors even electing to choose this path and go into bankruptcy because of their concern that there are going to be numerous parties requesting their transfer fees back. So, and we provided, I submitted an affidavit with some of the relevant documents referenced by the 14th Circuit Court of Appeals. So this is the notice of formation filed May 19th, 2000. And I have the affidavit with the exhibits attached for the court's reference. This was located at Exhibit H, and you'll see that the date is the May 19th, 2000 for that original notice of formation of petition committee.
All right.
Then you have I think I need my exhibit. And then you have the July 2001 affidavit, or I'm sorry, you have the July notice of formation. And you can find this, it was attached as an exhibit to the petition. So if you go to Exhibit K, and it's on page At the top it says 118 of 146 for the exhibit. That is a copy of the notice of formation of petition committee for what is now Garden Oaks Maintenance Organization. And you'll see the date of the filing there was July 23rd, 2001. In this notice of formation, which is attached to the actual petition that was filed in 2002, so that is what Exhibit K is. It's the actual petition that was filed. And so as part of the petition, they filed the notice of formation of the petition committee that included the terms and the amendments that they were adopting. So if you go to page 112 of 146, that's the date of the filing of the actual petition to amend the deed restriction. So, again, if you recall that timeline, they filed the notice of formation, and then they filed this approximately 11 months later. Contained in this is the transfer fees and the authority for them to collect the transfer fees. So that is the exhibit to the notice of formation, and you will find that at page 122 of 146. And the transfer fee assessment is the 0.75% of the value of the parcel upon transfer, and that's contained in section 4B of that notice. So this is what the 14th Court of Appeals said was invalid. Okay. Now, let me go to the next slide. So in addition to, so this is Garden Oaks Section 3. Basically at virtually the same time as the notices of formation for Section 3 were filed, the notices of formation for Sections 1, 2, and 5 were filed. And this slide in your packet and what's on the screen is just a timeline of events just to show you how the timing of each of the first notices of formation were filed. They were all filed on May 19th, 2000, so they would have expired by their term May 19th, 2001. And then these are the specific dates of the filings of the notices of formation for GOMO, which I've included in the exhibits to the affidavit as well. And again, how they work is that each petition has the original notice attached to it. So So going to Section 1 first, Section 1 is located at Exhibit J. So if you're looking at page 99 of 146, you'll see that the date is the July 22nd, 2002. So that's the date, that's the last date on the timeline, which is the date they believe that they got the petition and they filed that petition. And then as an attachment was the original notice of formation of that section, which that's at page 104 of 146. That's July 23rd, 2001. So, again, on that timeline. And then if we go to Exhibit L, this is the one for – I'm sorry, I skipped one. Exhibit K. You'll see that the petition to amend the restrictions for Section 2 is July 22, 2002, and attached to this is the notice of formation that was filed July 23, 2001. And then the last one, Section 5. So Section 4 is not a party to Garden Oaks Maintenance Organization. They didn't approve this or they didn't the petition, so it's not at issue in case you were wondering why this wasn't included. So if you go to M, you see the date on page 137 of 146. This was filed on July 29th, 2002, and then attached to it is the original. The original notice of formation at 141 of 146, and that's the July 30th, 2001 date. So really, this slide is just intended to give the visual aid as far as the gap in time between the dissolution of that first one compared to the notice of formation of the second one. So it applies for all the sections that, you know, GOMO purportedly has control over at this point. So the debtor's another argument that I believe is going to, that they're going to say, and I'm just not sure, is that 2004-6 is an alternative basis, but this argument was rejected by the state court and the 14th Circuit Court of Appeals in their rulings, and also you can see from the statutory text that a requirement to even amend under 204-6 of the Texas Property Code is that a commission has been formed as prescribed by Section 201-5 of the code. So it's a reference back to the same section that we started with here. All right, and so it's really a straightforward issue here, Your Honor, as far as the ruling of the 14th Circuit Court of Appeals that was affirming the Texas District Court. As I said in my opening, you know, this has effects throughout this case, and I think all parties would appreciate the guidance of this court with, you know, these facts being known. As far as the record for this case and getting at these documents in the record, I would like to move to admit these documents into the record at this time.
Mr. Patterson, any objection?
Yes, Your Honor. We're not here to make a record. We're here to make legal argument. And so I've been kind of lax just because I think for the convenience of the court, I don't have a problem going through them. But
let me ask you this just again so that there is a record and so that if there is a reviewing court, the reviewing court knows what we were looking at. Would you have any objection to the admission of exhibits A through M for demonstrative purposes only?
That'd be fine. All right. I don't have any problem with that.
Because I think that's at least thus far what they've been used as.
Right.
I'll admit the committee's exhibits A through M for demonstrative purposes only.
Your Honor, as far as the
except for the affidavit, I mean, that's the front of the book is an affidavit, which I think is wholly inappropriate.
Which wasn't any of the exhibits A through M, correct?
Right, but it's in the book. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't included as A or as a cover sheet. So
it is. I was very specific.
Okay,
A through M, demonstrative purposes only. Doesn't include the affidavit.
Yes, sir.
Going back to the timeline slide, if you will,
okay.
I would ask that the court take judicial notice that Section 1, the formation of Section 1, the dissolution, or at least the formation occurred on May 19th, 2000, same with Section 2 and 5. And again, the necessary information, I believe, are these documents in order for the court to take judicial notice of
them.
Let
me ask you a question. So I spent a lot of time looking at this, and it seems to me to be actually pretty straightforward. I am looking at the Court of Appeals decision where it lists the four declarations, and it affirmed 1 and 2, and it overturned 3 and 4, correct?
That's correct.
And so 1 and 2 stand, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
All right. And so those two have now been tried by state court. They've been approved by a court of appeals. And I'm not aware, no one's told me about that this is on a path to the Texas Supreme Court. Am I right about that?
That's my understanding, Your Honor.
Mr. Patterson, is there anything in what I've just said that you disagree with?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, all right. So I'll just tell you, I'm looking at this maybe too simply, is I've got two declarations, 1 and 2, that say what they say. And I've not been given any theory or any reason that I would use any discretion that I might have, and I'm not sure that I have any, to look behind those two declarations. And I think that's what you're asking me to do, is to just say, take those two declarations on their face, correct?
No. I mean, if that was it, then we would just, you know, I don't think there would be a need for a hearing on this. We would just say that that's what the Texas courts have said and leave it at that. So, I mean, I think in order to advance the ball a little bit and know how to proceed in this Chapter 11 case, we do need to look behind it to some extent to figure out what effects it has on the administration of the Chapter 11 case.
How can I look behind a ruling by a state appellate court? I mean, are you asking me to go change what they did or to accept part of it, reject part of it? How can I possibly look behind a ruling of the state court? I mean, absent some allegation of fraud or misgiving or some impropriety by the state appellate court, aren't I required to simply give deference to issues that were tried to a final judgment by state court and look at the four corners, and they say what they say and it means what it means? And I'm not trying to be glib, but isn't that what I'm supposed to do?
I think in large part that is exactly what we're doing, is that we're saying that that is a ruling already made, that there were certain findings made in that ruling, and those findings have certain implications to the debtor going forward.
There's a method to my madness, I promise you. And so let's just start with number one. All right? Mm-hmm. So if I start with number one, it says the notice of formation filed on July 23rd, 2001, it's invalid, it's ineffective, and it's of no force and effect with respect to Mr. and Ms. Chang. As I understand the dispute, and this is a question, is Mr. Patterson wants to argue that it's limited, that finding's limited just to Mr. and Ms. Chang. You believe that it's a statement of the status of the notice that was filed on July 23rd, 2001, correct?
That ruling is limited to the Changs. There's no doubt about that.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
The findings have implications beyond the Changs. In the state court proceeding, the state court said that the other parties were not made a party to the proceeding and they were going to limit it only to the Changs, because the other parties weren't a party.
How could a notice that is based upon filing requirement be valid as to one party and invalid as to another? How could that possibly be when it's based upon a timing issue?
I agree with you. I feel like this is what this hearing is for, is to kind of confirm that the underlying facts and the findings made by these courts have implications beyond the Changs.
All right, then I am extremely confused as to what you're asking me to do. Maybe I should have started right here. What is it that you want me to do today? If you could paint the picture of how today ends, what is it that you want me to do? And I want it with absolute specificity.
So this started with a declaratory judgment?
Nope. Let me ask my question again.
Okay.
If you could paint the picture, what is it with specificity that you want me to do today?
Make a finding that Garden Oaks Maintenance Organization is not authorized to collect transfer fees or really operate pursuant to the notice of petition that was filed or the notice of formation that was filed.
Well, aren't those two very different things?
The issue is that notice of formation, so the transfer fee is inside the notice of formation, so I don't think they're two different things. If the notice of formation is invalid, then presumably the contents of that notice of formation are invalid. The rest of the notice of formation has to do with like the structure of membership and how voting works and things of that nature. So I don't know if anything else has a...
So you want me to make a finding today that the debtor can't collect transfer fees, correct?
As it currently is. I mean, I'm not saying it can't ever.
Let's start over.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm asking very discreet, simple questions, and I would very much appreciate very simple, discreet answers. Are you asking me today to find that the debtor cannot collect transfer fees?
That's correct.
All right. Is there anything else that you are asking me to find?
That the notice of formation is invalid, or whatever that's. I mean, it's kind of a reiteration of what's already been found, and I don't know if it has huge effects, but that would also be part and parcel with the request.
Anything else?
No, that's it for this discrete legal issue.
Okay. And so if I were to issue that order, where would you see this headed?
So I believe that there's also a kind of a continuance of the exclusivity period, and whether that the debtor has that exclusive period. I think that this would serve as the direction for the case. If the debtor does not have authority to collect the transfer fees, then I think it's going to control the direction of the plan, which is likely a liquidation I don't see much beyond that as a result of that determination. So I think the broader implications, if that's what the court is asking for, is that the committee have an opportunity to file a plan and we expeditiously, resolve this case and move on.
And what plan would you file?
Well, if your owner's asking me to go into the contents of a proposed plan,
I just ask what plan would you file?
We've sent a term sheet over to the debtor. It involves, right now it involves.
Let's start again. I don't get emails.
Sure.
Letter. And when a judge asks you a question, judge expects an answer. Doesn't really care what you may have done prior to coming to the podium. I ask you a very simple, direct question. And I by no means want to embarrass you in front of your committee, but I'm going to tell you, Mr. Rubio, you're starting to push me in that direction, and you know what happens when I decide to cut loose. So let's please answer my questions. They're really simple. I just want some very basic answers. What would a plan look like?
It would involve reimbursing folks that have paid transfer fees since the petition date, doing a claim reconciliation process whereby the debtors and the committee would have an opportunity to object to claim on other bases, including statute of limitations and equitable issues. And then ultimately we think that there would likely be some money left over, which could be allocated to some civic organization or something of that nature where they could possibly, reform a committee, assuming that there was funds left over after paying all allowed creditors.
So walk me through this. Debtor's got $600,000, give or take, if my memory's close to being right. And let's say the cost of the case and all claims are $500,000. There's $100,000 left over. You're saying that your contemplated plan would go, the $100,000 would go where?
Go back to the community. So there's civic organizations there. There's parties that are trying to reform a committee. So it would be allocated to one of the civic organizations. Or
is there a single organization for, I'm going to call it the neighborhood, but I don't mean anything by that, or subdivision. Is there a single organization for the subdivision?
My understanding right now is that there's some reformation committee that's kind of been identified as the reformation committee, but I don't think they have like any, true authority. But I think that there's some sort of recognition. That's, again, this is my understanding. I don't definitively know if that's
sure. So this may be too basic. Who who cuts the grass and changes the light bulbs and, you know, paints the curbs and does all that stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my understanding is that there's the Garden Oaks Maintenance Organization is an organization exclusively devoted to enforcing deed restrictions. So basically people who have modifications to their house or architectural plans, they would submit it to this organization. They would then determine. But there's a separate organization that's not Garden Oaks Maintenance Organization that does those services for the community. They maintain like the parks and the green areas and collect trash, and there's also a constable program and things of that nature that are not in the purview of Garden Oaks Maintenance Organization.
So is that in an otherwise properly formed property owners association or some other entity?
My understanding is that that entity gets all of their funds from donations from the community that they solicit on an annual basis for donations, and it's all on a voluntary basis, but that's how they collect and fund that.
Not something that was formed under a set of deed restrictions or...
That's my understanding. That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. I got it. What else?
Well, we've kind of concluded at the judicial notice as far as the timeline, just to establish that, you know, that these other sections were in fact filed on May 19th, 2000, and then the dates of the subsequent GOMO petition for each one.
And how does that pertain to the appellate decision that was rendered?
The appellate decision that was rendered how does it relate? The issues of law are the same issues, right? So the sections are the same.
Is today's hearing just on what the appellant decision means?
Well, we wrote it as the legal effects of it, which...
So you think that means that you want me to go out on a summary basis and try this lawsuit in the context of a contested matter for all the other sections? Is that what you're asking me to do?
Your Honor, that is what I'm asking you to do because, you know, if you have the information in front of you as far as the authority to collect and it's the same exact legal basis that was established in the 14th Circuit, then it's really not worth, you know, spending money of the estate and going through this exercise if at the end of the day we're not going to have either a confirmable plan or if the debtor does emerge and that they're faced with the same defenses that the Changs raised in their lawsuit, and that would be confronting the debtor at every turn. Also, the fact that there's, you know, other folks that want to start a properly formed organization is out there as well. So I would say that, you know, for the purpose of moving this forward and addressing, you know, the issues raised in the hearing, I think it would make sense that we address all of that so we know we have the guidance from the court on how to move forward.
All right. Anything else?
That's it, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Patterson.
I just have the exhibits that were at the last hearing that Mr. Rubio has, but I've added just for the court's convenience some property code statutes and a couple of cases that I'll be referencing. It's all that's in there.
So, again, for purposes of today, because I don't want there to be any difference, any objection to my simply admitting these for demonstrative purposes only to aid in your argument this afternoon?
That's fine.
Mr. Rubio? All right, so I'll admit debtor exhibits, Mr. Patterson, what, 1 through 9?
The exhibits are only 1 through 5.
1 through 5.
Additional tabs are a couple of property code sections and some cases.
And I'm going to just do all 1 through 9 on the same basis. Obviously, I understand what the difference of offering a document and a code section mean, but again, just for purposes of review, and again, to aid as a demonstrative in the legal argument, I'll admit debtor exhibits 1 through 9 for demonstrative purposes only.
Thank you, Honor. I guess I have a little different spin on today and a little different tack, unless the court would like me to address some of your questions first, and then we can go in.
Can you answer just a basic question for me?
Yes, sir.
So why are we having this fight? Is this neighbor against neighbor? Is this a group of neighbors that don't like another group of neighbors? Is it? Why are we having this fight in the first place?
We're having the fight in the first place because there are two factions within Garden Oaks, within the Garden Oaks subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
I don't call people out, and I view this more as a reference to the case, but there's the Chang section and there's the neighborhood faction, right?
Okay.
And so I'll say the appellate group faction instead of, and I don't mean to call anyone out, but
okay.
There's a group that wants to, in fact, dismantle every vestige that there is of the homeowners association because, for whatever reason, I can't tell you what their motivations are. We can only surmise or speculate. And there is what I believe a much larger portion of the community that if there is an ability to have a viable, enforceable maintenance organization, that's what they want to do. And the committee has, I guess...
Can I ask you just one question?
Yes, sir.
Is, you said a maintenance organization. I've been trying to figure out exactly what it is they do. And when you say maintenance, do you mean a real live property management association that would handle all aspects, be it architectural control, cutting the grass, making sure the light bulbs are replaced, whatever, or is it something different?
No, that's it. Other than, and there's no reason the court, no, there's no common areas, so it's deed restrictions.
No nothing.
Right, it's deed restrictions, it's safety, constable control, patrol, those types of expenditures and management of the community.
Okay.
So everything but common air, there's no maintenance, but that's what they would do. That's the kind of organization you're looking at.
Okay, so what about this civic organization that Mr. Rubio made reference to that appears to do everything else but deed restrictions? Are you aware of it? Do you agree that that's what they do?
I don't know. I'm aware of it. I don't know. I couldn't even begin to tell you what they do or what the purpose, because I just don't know. I've had too many other things to do than I don't know. Other than I do know it's voluntary. I do know it's separate and distinct from the organization, and they're not organized to have the authority to raise money on a mandatory basis. It's truly a civic organization.
Let me ask you this. Is it your belief that the majority of the subdivision wants, number one, two, needs a properly formed, properly run, with a democratic process in terms of electing those who manage it, Property Owners Association?
It's my understanding. Yes, sir.
Mr. Rubio, do you agree with that?
Based on what I know, I believe that's probably correct, is that the majority of folks would want some Property Owners Association.
Okay.
As far as the...
Is it they just don't want this one? They don't like the person who's in control?
There is some of that, and I also think that there's some issue with the amount of the transfer fee.
I haven't gotten to economics yet. Okay. I promise you, I have a roadmap in my head. I never come to a game without a plan. I just got to get you all in the same game. So I really want to understand. We've got a lot of people who cared enough to show up today, and these are people who have homes in the neighborhood, and they have far more invested in this process than anybody else in this courtroom. It is important to me, and I would think it would be important to everyone involved in the process, to know what the end game is. If, you know, I don't know what brought the Chang litigation to bear. I don't know. I don't know what facilitated. I can read what it says, but I've been around legal process for 30 years. I know that the introductory paragraph in an opinion very rarely accurately sets forth what really caused things to happen. You know, I'm pretty confident that the opening paragraph of my opinions don't always get exactly what caused the dispute to happen. But it would seem to me, and I'm talking to everybody now, and I encourage you all to listen, this is set up to be a situation with no good ending for the people that matter the most, and that are the homeowners. You have a process that's been put in place that if people would perhaps take a step back and a deep breath, you could turn this into a very real positive for everybody. You know, I get it. Transfer fee, it affects value of your property. It doesn't work. You don't see anything being done. All those issues. I agree. I read through it. I don't like it either. I also don't own a house in Garden Oaks. But you've got a structure that you could actually fix a lot of the problems that you have. And it seems to me that we ought to find a way, if there really is a consensus that there should be a properly functioning property owners association, that we can use the bankruptcy process to fix the issues and have something that makes sense going forward. You know, if the issue is we just want to fight for the sake of fighting and we don't really care what happens, you know, I'm happy to call balls and strikes. I don't think that's what you all want. I don't think that's what you all need. But, you know, I have on my docket roughly 4,800 cases. And a good portion of those people every day come in bound and determined to make really bad decisions. And I let people do that so long as they make knowingly bad decisions. And then we talk about why they shouldn't have done what they did when I see them come back around. I am inclined in looking at this. I want to figure out a way that we know what the end game is. And I'll say this and then I'll be quiet. I don't see Mr. Rubio's described endgame. I don't see it at all. I see a big disaster. I also don't see what Mr. Patterson is setting this up to be, which is a we'll just cram it down on you and we'll go about life. That doesn't fit. And I'm no disparaging comment made, Mr. Patterson,
no,
because I've known you for a long time. I don't see that this fixes anything. I see this as actually elevating tensions. And I don't want, you know, I live in a neighborhood where when people walk down the street, there are a lot of people I don't know. They just know I'm the crazy judge with the three big dogs. And so, you know, they cross the street to the other side. But, you know, I say hello to people. And when, you know, when my trash can blows over, someone picks it up. When I see somebody else's, you know, their kid's tricycle is out in the middle of the road, I pick it up and put it back in the yard. That's the kind of neighborhood that people ought to want to live in. Where I see this headed, you know, your home is your most important investment for most folks. And, you know, I see this turning into an emotional, hate-filled, spiteful situation. And, you know, that's always good for the lawyers. I know both these guys, and they're both really good at fighting, and you know, they'll go home at the end of the day and they'll park their car in the driveway in the neighborhood where they really do know their neighbors and they talk kind to one another, and they won't really care what happened the day before in trial. So I really want to find a way that we can use the bankruptcy process to fix the problem, implement a homeowners association that makes sense. If, as part of the bankruptcy process, there needs to be a transparent election process in terms of directors going forward. You know, anytime there's anybody who says, oh, no, I have to maintain control of any organization, that always raises my antenna. Because no sane person should want that. If they do want it, it's for the wrong reason. And there are a lot of people who volunteer and who do it, but for someone who just steadfastly says, I have to be there, that always causes me heartburn. But I want to find a way that this is a positive. I'm not going to look behind what the state court said. I read it. I have my own views about what it means. I think my views are going to be pretty consistent right up the chain from the district court to the appellate court. But all that does is prove me right. It doesn't do anything to move this forward. So how do we, I'm going to ask both of you this, Mr. Patterson, you're standing, so you're my first victim. How do we implement a process where the folks sitting in this room get a real voice in how we fix the problem and we work together to get something done? How do we go about that process?
A couple things that I think that some of it is in progress already. We need to modify the committee. And I'll leave it at that. The committee needs to be tweaked, and Mr. Duran is taking care of it, and I know that he's
sitting in the back.
I know, and he's taking it seriously, and I do trust him, and I trust his judgment, and that's where I'm going to leave it.
But let's get past that. We got people out here who's this isn't a piece of litigation against a nameless, faceless entity. These are people.
Absolutely.
These are people that have houses. You know, there's your committee sitting right out there.
I couldn't agree more.
So how do we get their voices heard, and how do we bring – we're never going to find something that makes everybody happy. I'm not that naive.
Right.
But it seems to me that we ought to be able to come up with a process that everyone can say, yeah, you know, I don't like all of this, but I see the benefit of it, and I'm making numbers up, folks. It's like nothing by this. You know, yeah, I really hate that my homeowner's dues are $82 a month. I really wish they were $60 a month. You know, that problem I'm never going to solve. But I do think if people are being rational and we get sort of this division out of the way, that we ought to be able to create a structure that lets the neighborhood function the way it ought to function. There has to be, you know, I pay an assessment every year. Do I like it? No, of course not. I hate paying money to anybody.
Right.
But I pay it because I see the overall benefit. I mean, it makes sure that, you know, my trash gets picked up and that, you know, there are light bulbs out when they burn out, and that the security patrol comes through twice a day or whatever it is they do, and yeah, we ought to be able to find a way to do that. And for all the people here, you know, it seems to me that in my mind this is a really pretty straightforward process. You know, we got to get some of the emotion out of it,
right.
And we got to put in place a real structure. And, you know, I mean, this concept, I don't know who, again, I'm not criticizing, but I don't know who came up with, you know, the whole transfer fee thing. You know, it wasn't in Jones's view, it wasn't a particularly well thought out process. Again, I'm not saying that it was made with any sort of ill will. I just don't think it was a particularly well-thought-out process. It was destined to end up in litigation. Mm-hmm. But only a lawyer who looks behind everything would ever realize that. But you know, how do we sort of wipe the slate clean and use the bankruptcy process to fix whatever problems exist, whether that means fixing the old entity, creating a new one as part of the plan? You know, I don't know how far I can go in terms of, you know, changing deadline. I just don't know. But getting something that makes sense, having people feel good that they've had a chance to have their voices heard, mm-hmm. have a management board that is that represents the democratic process,
right,
which necessarily means that some people are going to be unhappy, but I'm okay with that. I just simply want there to be a process that's constructive as opposed to one that is destructive.
Right. And I agree 100%. This was really one of the main factors in the board really deciding that this process is what we needed to do, is because, in my opinion, we have the ability through this court and through the bankruptcy code more than any other place to get not only input by solicitation, but also binding effect of what we do of everyone. I mean, this is the place we do everyone. And I think that once, and I only mentioned the committee before because I think we have to work together for at least a semi-common goal. But I think a couple of things we can do is the court can utilize the notice provisions, especially as they relate to a disclosure statement, to also, I think the court has the authority to approve and authorize other types of notices, summary notices, and even, I think, and I don't know if the court would agree, but even notices that ask for input short of a vote on a plan that request responses. And I think with the court supervision and approval of those things in conjunction with the utilization of the organization or the debtor's website, I know that there are competing, I know that the Changs have a Facebook page, or they sponsor a Facebook page. There are other competing social media out there. If we could get the court to coordinate all of those for the greatest impact, we can utilize this process to do a couple of things, and maybe more. But number one, because we can turn around and ask everyone to come up, and you're going to get a flavor of what the people here think, but what we need is a flavor of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. This is one of, if not the largest, one of the largest subdivisions in Harris County.
So why don't you go to the neighborhood?
We can, all right? But there's a couple of problems.
Okay.
One, the committee has, in effect, said you will not spend any money going out for mail-outs, for anything out of the ordinary. In fact, I mean, they've asked you to not let us do anything. But mm-hmm. And so we can't – we've got to utilize the court process to get an order and permission. To do that, we have to get through this, quite frankly. But so we don't have any kind of coordination with the committee on doing that. There is, Mr. Rubio did indicate that there is a, I don't know what you call it, there is a committee out there that is doing what it can. This, in conjunction with the civic organization, they have sent out a questionnaire to try to get some idea of what the people want. Do they want to just close this down? Because I've told, well, I don't tell you what I told the board, but the goal is to find out what the community at large wants this to be when we're done. Right. That's the driving force. And so
let me volunteer you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let me ask folks, because I don't know your subdivision, do you all have a localized meeting place? Is there like a hall or a something?
Yes. Elementary school.
Yes. Elementary school. Yes. So you just call up and say, we'd like to use the auditorium, and you can get 200, 300, 400 people, whatever it might be, in there?
I'm going to get someone who can answer things.
Good. Good afternoon.
Hello.
What is your name, please?
Dia Larson.
All right.
Our system will end this conference in 5 minutes. So extend this call for 1 hour. Your conference has been extended for 60 minutes.
All right. So, Ms. Larson, you're telling me that there's a place that is within the neighborhood or subdivision that a meeting could be held?
Yes, that's correct. We use the Garden Oaks Elementary School.
And is that... trying to think. Is there Garden Oaks Elementary and Middle School?
That's correct. It's actually, it's now one of the, a new kind of arrangement with the elementary and the middle school, and it has to do with the Montessori. So it's a Montessori, but it's a public HISD.
No, I got it. I had the, I'm going to say fortune, but it was not a fortune. I coached a 13-year-old boys basketball team.
Good for you. Did you win?
I don't have kids of my own. I sent out an email when I first did this to all the parents. I said, please tell your children to be nice to me. That was uniformly ignored. But we had practices, I think, at
okay.
Garden Oaks.
You wouldn't recognize it. They've just rebuilt it. So
oh,
it's
right?
It's really nice now.
So anyway, so you've got a place that you can meet.
That's correct.
And is there a way that you could put a flyer out or an email chain or something to say, hey, folks, we're going to have a meeting. Please come.
Yes. Okay. We put out signs. We've sent out some things, some emails.
So when you say we, you're part of the civic organization, if you will?
I'm on both sides.
You're
Right. I've been part of both the GOMO, they call it, and then also the
you're a glutton
civic.
For punishment, is what you're calling it.
Okay. It's been interesting.
All right. So, Mr. Patterson, let me tell you, if I got to define, yes, just Ms. Larson, have a seat. I may have other questions or I may decide you want to tell me something. What I would like to see happen is, and I said I was going to volunteer you.
Yes, sir.
I would like for you to appear at a series of meetings so that you give folks an opportunity. Number one, you're not going to get everybody's work schedule all at one time. But to do it on a couple of different occasions, so number one, people could have multiple opportunities to attend. Number two, quite frankly, some people have to hear and process things, and then they have questions. I mean, people just think very differently. But I'd like for you to do this a couple of times, and I leave it to you as to how you implement it. But actually, go to the neighborhood, and, you know, people want to throw cabbages and things at you, then, you know, it's not the first time it will have happened to you.
That's right.
But to actually... give them the outline of what you hope to accomplish. And what I hope that would involve is sort of a step back from where we are now with a litigation-type approach that isn't going to end in anything good, that would involve the formation, reformation, whatever it needs to be, of a real-life, properly functioning owners association that has a defined set of duties, that has a burden, if you will, that is more appropriate than the one that currently exists. Again, this is just me talking, and it may be that what was brought up is the best way in the world to do this. I don't think so, but you know, if it's a monthly, if it's a fee, whatever it is, I'm not trying to dictate that.
Sure.
And at the end of the day, I won't ever dictate that. I may say no, but I won't ever try to say no, it needs to be this, not that. I just won't do that. But get input on what people, you know, number one, what people think needs to be done. I think you can get input on a structure that people think makes sense. And you'll have outliers. I mean, you know this.
Sure.
I mean, you take a sample of people and it'll scatter across, but there'll be, my belief is there'll be a group of rational people that say, we need an organization that does the following things, and we think that ought to be an annual assessment, a semi-annual assessment, a quarterly assessment. You know, I would even ask for numbers, because you know, at some point you're going to need to create a budget and make sure that it actually works.
Right.
But to get that information, and then if we need to get back together, I'm happy to do that. But again, to gather some data from the people that are affected the most so that we can see if there is something that can be done, that should be done, to put this neighborhood back where it ought to be.
Right. I can do that, Judge.
Okay. Mr. Rubio, I would like very much for you to attend that. I would like for there to be a comprehensive message between the two of you. And it can be a, we don't necessarily agree on everything, but we are working toward a common goal. And see if we can't find some middle ground. And then get back together and see where we are. This is going to involve some work, and this is not going to be easy. If I were going to take the easy way out, I would start focusing on the committee's conflicts, which they have. I'd start focusing on the debtor's problems, which you know I see. And, you know, if I didn't care about everybody sitting in this room, you know, I'd do something that code says I can do, which you all would not like. And I don't want to go there. I want to find a way to make this work for everybody, and that we do, that the process is used for something positive, not for something negative. So, Mr. Chang, let me ask you. You're sitting there with your arms crossed, and I'm a people person, and I read people pretty well. You want to come up and talk to me? Because you're going to be a big part of this. Please. Let me ask you this. Can you put aside what's happened in the past and have an open mind and come up with and participate in coming up with a structure that works for your neighborhood?
Yes.
You know, folks, you hear that from the person who's had the hardest fight, who's been involved the longest. Everybody can go the extra step, find a way to get this done. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. So let me ask again, you know, I don't know your neighborhood, Ms. Larson. What would be a fair amount of lead time for people, for notice to get out and for people, now come on up, sir, for people to have ample opportunity to, you know, find babysitters and make arrangements to make sure they can attend a meeting? Is this something that can be done in a week, 2 weeks?
You know, school's getting ready to start, and so I think a lot of people, you know, are thinking about that. But I think certainly by the middle to the end of September, what are y'all think? September? End of September? Is that possible? Anybody said no?
I don't agree with that.
Hey,
what do you think?
Come on up and talk to me.
Okay.
And let me take the gentleman in the blue shirt first, if you would tell me your name.
Sure. Yes, Your Honor. My name is Matt Gannon. I am actually the president of the Civic Club.
All right.
So part of the reason I wanted to come up was to answer any questions you've got about how the Civic Club works with GOMO and how the two groups are distinct and that kind of thing. And also, you know, to let you know that the Civic Club is a completely neutral entity in this. So the way the Civic Club has been impacted by the whole lawsuit is that historically, GOMO, with the surplus funds that they generate from the transfer fees, has made donations to the Civic Club, which has funded our constable programs, our beautification, and that has had a direct impact on the neighborhood because we've
sure.
had to reduce.
So let me ask you this. If we were able to come up with a structure that consolidated the civic function, well, just created a single property owners association such that there would be a known regular assessment, there would be a very particularized set of responsibilities for the association. Do you think that would be a plus or a minus?
No, I think that would be a plus. What some of the things you were talking about, it's interesting in suggesting, the Civic Club has actually, as a neutral entity, has already started doing those things. So we formed a committee to send out a survey to ask what people want,
right,
to ask if they want a combined entity or they want them kept separate, right, to ask if they want to pay a transfer fee or monthly dues or no dues at all, have it mandatory, have it voluntary, and those results are coming back in.
Sure. Well, I will tell you, because I've been around this for a long time, and I've had the privilege to reorganize subdivisions and water districts, and you know, I mean, I've dealt with the homeowner issue and the emotional side of it as a lawyer, and I've stood at a lot of these meetings, and I've been called, you know, every name there is to be called, and at the end of the day, when you know I got something good done, which wasn't always, I've had people come up and say, you know, hey, you were right, and so I've seen all sides of this. It has to be mandatory. You can't have voluntary participation and have it work. It doesn't happen.
I agree completely.
It does need to be reasonable, and in my mind, it needs to be equal, which is why the transfer fee doesn't work. And it's if you figure out, and there are a million different structures, as I know you know, and you've been working on. Yeah, there needs to be something that's right for Garden Oaks, but it needs to be uniform, it needs to be fair, has to be mandatory, because otherwise that just engenders a whole new set of problems. But, you know, can I count on your support in trying to come up with a structure that would make sense? You don't have to, I mean, I'm not saying agree to X, but I need for folks to get out and work on this.
1,000% you can count on it. And actually, I think it was maybe a month and a half ago, we invited the creditors committee, Mr. Patterson, Mr. Rubio. They all came and presented to anyone that wanted to attend from the neighborhood. So we started that process. And I think everyone would agree that was a pretty cordial meeting. We didn't all agree, but no one was throwing shoes at each other or anything. So I think it was a success.
I'm hoping that perhaps when word gets out that I've requested. Sometimes wearing a black dress to work actually has a benefit. And I'm hoping that when word gets out that I've taken an interest in it and I'd like for this to happen, that perhaps people will take more of an interest in it and work toward it. Again, I don't think people have really thought through what the downsides are if this goes in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we never have to address that. That would be a good thing. So going back to the question that Ms. Larson asked, do you think that if the first meeting were planned sometime sort of mid, late September, that gives everybody enough notice, and I'm coming back, sir, that would give everybody ample opportunity, again, with the understanding, I want it done more than once. I don't want this to be a, you have to come on this day or you don't find out what's going on. It never works that way. You think that'd be enough time?
Absolutely. We have monthly Civic Club meetings, just standing meetings for all the members to attend, and actually even non-members right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that could certainly be added to the agenda for any of those meetings, and we can have standalone meetings for people that can't make that date and time.
To the extent that I get to have input, I would like for it to be a separate meeting, not tied to anything, because I don't want there to be a perception that this is being sponsored by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is being sponsored by your bankruptcy judge, and
right,
that's it. And I'd like it to be separate. I'd like it to be, again, a separate agenda. I don't want anyone to have divided loyalties about it. What I'm hoping folks will do, if you own property in the subdivision, you should want this.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want it or you think I'm just wrong, you know, I've got 30 years of examples. I can show you why I'm right. But again, hopefully we don't have to go there.
Right. I agree, and we can definitely do that.
Thank you for coming out.
The vast majority of the people in the neighborhood, Your Honor, just want a peaceful life, a beautiful neighborhood that's safe and secure. And all the other noise, we just want it to go away.
Oh, I got it. All right.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Your Honor.
Good afternoon. Can you tell me your name?
My name is Diego Martinez.
All right, Mr. Martinez. So you said you don't think that a mid-late September timing was appropriate, or you don't like the idea at all?
Both, Your Honor.
Okay.
The reason for the timing is I work oil and gas, and that takes me away from Houston for months at a time.
Okay.
And today has been the first day I've actually been able to attend a hearing or whatnot related to this entire case since it started in May or March.
Okay.
And with school starting, schedules, even September, it's hard to manage that. So some people are just gone for months that live in the neighborhood who have paid transfer assessment fees, who may be potential claimants. It's just really difficult. I know you said there'd be multiple, but I'm talking about even 6 months for myself. This is the only opportunity I've been able to come since it started. And I can't be the only one in the oil and gas industry that has this issue.
I mean, are you married?
Yes.
Okay, so your wife could come?
On Tuesdays, it hasn't worked. As an example, for the Civic Club meetings where they've done things, we're not able to attend.
Would it be better on a Saturday?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we can work through this, and I want to be sensitive to folks who, and the fact that I can make Mr. Patterson work on Saturday, a great pleasure in that. I don't mind that at all. But you don't like the idea at all.
No, Your Honor.
So tell me why.
To address your concerns, particularly to Mr. Rubio and Mr. Patterson answering this, I think wholeheartedly cut this clean sheet, return whatever percentage to people who've paid transfer fees. Do not allow any funds to be to another organization, which is subject to vote. It's not guaranteed to ever pass. Section 1 and Section 2 require 75%.
Yeah, I want you
voting
to
go through.
Can we take a step back? Because you're focused on something that, as we sit here today, I don't care about. You're focused on how do we address the past. Past isn't going anywhere. The past doesn't fix anything. I'm focused on the future. And you'll be surprised at what I can do and what I have to live with in terms of percentages and voting. I have an awful lot of authority. And I want to focus on going forward. There'll be a process to deal with the money in the past. And I can tell you're angry about that, and that's just fine. The $600,000 that's in the account or whatever it is, it isn't going anywhere, and it isn't going to get spent unless I approve it. But that doesn't solve your problem. You want to see your house value plummet 25%? Take this to its logical conclusion, and that's what you will see.
I do not think, Your Honor, I disagree. I do not think the existence of a homeowners association has any effect on the home values. Home values in Garden Oaks are rising because of our proximity and minimal commute time to various parts of town.
They're rising because the dirt value is going up.
Exactly, sir, and that has nothing to do with a home existence of a homeowner association. In Section 4, which doesn't have GOMO, their home values are the same. So
you got an awfully were you an engineer by training?
Yes, sir.
So am I, and you've got an awfully short-term view of the world. I don't understand why that is.
I'm just trying to avoid repeat of history, Your Honor, because
I'm trying to give you an opportunity to avoid a repeat of history.
Yeah, and I think just cut the cord, sir. And if people want to reform it, they can do it for Section 204. It's been more than 5 years. Can have the votes.
So you're just saying your section, you don't want to participate.
Correct. I do not want to participate in.
Okay. And everybody in your section feel that way?
I've talked to my two immediate neighbors, and yes.
How many people live in your section?
I do not know that. I live in Section 1. Maybe someone else knows.
400,000.
No.
Okay. You know what? Yeah. It's. We'll see where that goes.
And Garden Oaks had the opportunity to call special meetings as part of their bylaws.
I want you to stop focusing on history. I don't care about history.
Okay. Well, Your Honor, I wish that please cut the cord. That's my opinion as a potential claimant.
I got it. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? want to come up? And I appreciate everybody's opinion. Mr. Tang, I did not mean that you had to go sit down. Come on back up. I was impressed at what you said, so I thought you were done. Yes, ma'am.
My name's Karen Halterman, and I'm one of the homeowners. I haven't been involved too much in the previous discussions and so forth, but I guess I just wanted to share my concerns.
Sure.
As you mentioned earlier, Your Honor, homes are one of the largest investments that most people make in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. And while Garden Oaks property values is true, the dirt itself is going up, the reality is we've had an increase in crime lately because we aren't funding the constable program. When I first was building the house 8 years ago, I would go to the site.
So can I stop you for a second? See, Mr. Chang, you need to learn. You can believe what you want to inside, but you need to learn to just listen. Shaking your head, it creates animosity. And you can disagree with a neighbor, and that's okay, but she's a human being, and she deserves, at least in this country, she has the right to speak. She has the right to have her opinion. So my suggestion, and this is for all of you, and I mean this, I've been down this road more times than you all have, is listen to your neighbor's opinion. Don't shake your head no. Don't look away. Don't just discard it. Listen to it. Once you've heard it, if you choose to disagree, that's your right as well. And when it comes your time to speak, I'll just tell you, at least in this courtroom, folks are going to listen to what you have to say the same way. It's just a matter of basic human respect, and I want that to exist. Fair enough?
Yes.
All right, thank you, sir. Go ahead, ma'am.
So when we were building our home about 8 years ago or so, we would be walking the property and the construction and so forth, and we'd see the constable one or two times, maybe even three times. Mm-hmm. And over the years, that's gone down pretty dramatically, and we are starting to see crimes in the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's just
and part of that is a funding mechanism issue here lately, right? Garden Oaks, my wife and I shopped for 2.5 years to find a neighborhood that appealed to us in terms of having the big setbacks and the 1940s, 50s vintage neighborhood feel. It's a beautiful subdivision, big oak trees over the streets. You can walk baby carriages and dogs and everything else. And that's what we were looking for. It is close to the city. But part of that, too, you have to make an economic decision. And so part of that was value. And one of the reasons that we chose Garden Oaks was because it does have deed restrictions. And the deed restrictions were enforced, at least when we built our house.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted a three-car garage. We were told, no, it's against the deed restrictions. Okay, a two-car garage it is. Okay. There were other things that we wanted that they said, no, you can't. Here it is. Here's where it is in writing. Okay, fine. We live with that because we don't have 4 feet reaching out your window and touching your neighbor's house, right? Yeah. We've all driven through West University where you can reach out, touch the neighbor next to you, and say hello for dinner. That's not what we have, right? We have nice setbacks, both in the front yard, on the backyard, and on the side property. It is a very traditional 40s, 50s kind of setup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we were looking for. That's why we wanted deed restrictions. That's why we wanted an organization that enforces it. Now, whether that's GOMO or some reformed version of GOMO or a combination of Civic and GOMO and how we assess fees, to me, that's, as Your Honor has suggested, just sorted out in the details as a community, right? But having those things in place is what protects the value of the property.
Anyway,
that's the main points I wanted to say.
No, thank you very much for coming
on. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Chang.
I just have two two items I would like to mention.
Sure.
The first item is the elephant in the room, which is the deed restrictions. All this ultimately is about the deed restrictions. And the deed restriction in my section, at least, was written back in 1937. It was written back in when the Spanish Civil War was happening.
Yeah,
Amelia Earhart was alive at, you know, at the time.
Right.
And what I wish those both attorneys would have mentioned, that the deed restriction, because the situation in the neighborhood, the God knows went through decades where there was not a enforcement entities. And a lot of violations, hundreds of violations that were created over the course of the decades still exists. There's no such thing as a grandfather violation. It's all, those hundreds of violations are active, and they're active today. The violation to my right, to my left, diagonal to my right, diagonal to my left, and violation in front of my house. I'm surrounded by violations every day. And they must say it's grandfather again. Well, it's not. It's active violations, and there'll be active violations till the end of time, until the violation is corrected.
Right.
So we're talking about active violations, all five sections, and yet nobody's talking about how to correct them. Nobody's talking about what is enforceable and what is not. And that is ultimately the most important question, the most important task. A lot of people are saying, oh, it's too hard. You'll never get the vote. You'll never get the vote to do certain things that will enable to create a new deed restrictions.
Right.
If that's the case, if the hundreds of active deed restriction violations are out there, why are we spending all this energy to try to create another deed restriction enforcement entity? I think personally, before we get to that point, first of all, we need to sit down and say to ourselves, what is enforceable and what is not? That, I think that is more important than anything else.
So let me ask you, so you're saying when you make that reference, you're making that reference to the 1937 deed restrictions, not an updated set. Is that correct?
There's not an update deed restrictions.
No, that would be part of what you all would do.
I would have a... Yeah, ultimately, I would like to have an updated deed restrictions that reflects the reality of each section.
Yeah, my view of that is that that's part of the process in terms of fixing the issue.
Okay, and thank you very much, and I agree with that 100%. Okay. And I hope that that both parties will be willing to work towards that.
Yeah, I hope that there's more than just both parties.
All the parties.
800 parties or however many there are that do it. So you said you had two issues.
Yeah. Number two, I think there are thousands, tens of thousands of POAs across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we're trying to reinvent the wheels here.
Agreed.
There are 20 other subdivisions around Garden Oaks. And if I were to look at the court document from 2000, from the creation of Garden Oaks operates till now,
mm-hmm.
there are 14 lawsuits filed by our HOA, as far as I know. I might be wrong. You might take as hearsay, but you can do your own research. There are 14 lawsuits from mm-hmm. the inception of HOA Garden Oaks from 2002 till recently.
To enforce deed restrictions or for anything?
They're just for anything.
For anything.
14 lawsuits.
Okay.
For individuals, contractors, etc., homeowners. And if you look around, and I encourage everybody to prove me wrong, if you look around all the other surrounding sections, there are 20, at least 20 other subdivisions surrounding us that dwarfs us in numbers. And if you look at the sections immediately surrounding us, within the same time period, you can only find one lawsuit. One versus 14. There is fundamentally, I think, something wrong with the setup that we have right now that is breaking the neighborhoods apart.
Totally agree with you.
I think spending $250,000 on my wife and I is absolutely devastating. And
in hindsight, it might not have been such a good decision, right?
Exactly, but you know, but spending quarter of a million dollars of all these people's transfer fee on a family over something that is being found waived and abandoned, mm-hmm. and that the way that they were enforcing was being unreasonable by the jury of our peers, I think it's, you know, it's something that should not be overlooked.
Yeah, I don't, and I'm going to say the same thing to you that that I said previously to Mr. Martinez, is there'll be a day and a time where we deal with the historical mess that's been created up till now. What you all need to do, what I want you all as a community to try and do, with the understanding that I'll come back and address all those issues at some point in time, and I'm not going anywhere, is that, you know, I'm here for the rest of my life, whatever that may be. You know, I don't change every 4 years. What I want you all to focus on is figuring out how you go from, you know, August the 16th forward. Get that in place, and we can come back and deal with all of the other issues. And I agree. I mean, and here's the thing. I'm looking to you to be a leader. And the reason, because you are the lightning rod, and you know that. You have been the lightning rod. You're the lightning rod in this lawsuit. If you can put that aside and say, I want to do what's right for our neighborhood, people will follow you. But you have to be willing to do that. And I'm counting on you to see the benefit of fixing the problem. And then to the extent that we need to come back, circle back around and deal with any issues that happened prior to August the 16th, we will do that.
There are 10, 15 other POAs surrounding us. Mm-hmm. None of them are on the newspaper for things like such as this. They must be doing something right. Great. I would imagine. Would you encourage the people organizing it to perhaps have some sort of interview process or some sort of communication with other subdivisions surrounding us? Sure. And talk about how they do it. Why the constable contribution is 60% across the street from us versus 20% in our subdivision? Why is the community spirit such, you know, why there's such a much higher community spirit across the street, and why do you see just apathy in our surrounding? We're not reinventing the wheel here.
Agreed. So why can you not be involved in that process?
I could if both parties sit down and try to talk about it in good faith. And that's what we don't, and I personally feel that's what we don't have right now.
You're gonna get that, or I'm gonna just tear the subdivision apart. And I have that ability.
I understand that.
So let's, you know, what I'm asking you to do, I have no ability to make you do it. I'm asking you to do it, is you're the person who has been through the most, at least in the court system. You're the person that everybody knows about. You're the person everybody reads about. You know, I spent, you know, 4 hours last night reading about Mr. and Ms. Chang. And, you know, you're the person who can stand up and make a difference. You're the person who can say, you know, I want to lead this to a solution. And I'm just telling you that if you will do that, and if you will listen to, you know, you don't always have to agree. You know, look at my job. Every single day, every single thing I hear, you know, I had 30 things on my docket today, which means there were 60 parties involved at least. 30 of them I listened to and said they're wrong. All right? But I listened. And if you will do the same thing, and you will listen, and you will try, given where you are situated, use it as a positive, be a leader. You know, if you think that there ought to be, you know, that there ought to be contact made with the other POAs because you think there's one that does it better than others, then volunteer to go talk to them. You know, stand up, lead your neighborhood. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
Thank I want to thank you for what you just did, asking them to get together. And Civic Club's already doing that. My name is Suzanne Dibian. I live in Section 1. And Mr. Chang, I did not get to meet you. Welcome to our neighborhood. It's a wonderful place to live. Cheryl Luck and I go way back, and all my neighbors are here. I bought into Garden Oaks back in 1973.
Wow.
I'm dating myself.
Yeah.
So, and I was in real estate for 21 years actively. I now own an air conditioning company. The main thing is this, don't you have me? I walk my dog and everything in the neighborhood. I love Garden Oaks. It's a community. It's where we live. All our neighbors are different. But we have great neighbors. I was so looking forward to meeting you because you're going to love the neighborhood. We have to get over our differences. We have differences. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, otherwise, we'd be living in a different country doing whatever they told us to do. So we can pull this together, neighbors. We really can. The Civic Club, the deed restrictions are old. I had to laugh my butt off when I wasn't allowed to have pigs. But, you know, it's in there. And I don't think I was allowed in there either, come to think of it. But it's a good community. We can do this. We can really, really look at our differences and realize that when, I said this a long time ago, and I'm not bragging on me, but when you buy in Garden Oaks, you buy into a lifestyle, a community. It's close to town. If you look around, you're so different and you're so great. We can pull this together. We can do it. We do have outdated stuff. And you're right, Your Honor. I just wanted to thank you.
Thank you. You can thank me by also being a leader and helping move this forward.
I'll be like everybody else. I just don't. No, I will.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Patterson, Mr. Rubio, can we take a break from the litigation and take a shot at this?
I think we can, Judge, and we were in the process of you asking what we need. I think couple of things, because my answer would be yes. I think that is clearly what we need to try to get to. We need to try to get a handle on communications to the neighborhood. Right? In my opinion, I think we need to ask, and we would ask the court to regulate any formal notification going out. Now we have websites, we got Facebook, we got the committee, you know, an unofficial committee, Facebook, we got lots of people sending out lots of messages about the bankruptcy case. And I think we would ask the court to, in essence, stop the people that you have jurisdiction over to stop all communications and in essence, before we issue anything, go through a disclosure-type hearing and have the court approve the notice that goes out, especially the notice that sets these series of meetings. And I would think that I would like it to be in the form of an order because participation is always a problem. We want to get participation, and I think that will help.
Let me tell you what I'm willing to do is, number one, I'm not going to order anybody not to express their views. If someone wants to say, as Mr. Martinez did, he just thinks this is a bad idea.
Right.
He gets to think that, and he gets to talk to his neighbors, and he gets to send out an email string or a tweet or whatever it might be that says, I think this is a bad idea. So I'm not going to do that. What I am willing to do, and what I think is a good idea, is that I am perfectly happy to issue an order that directs counsel for the debtor, counsel for the committee, to hold a series of town hall meetings, if you will, with the first meeting to occur not later than, I'll let you all fill in the blank, and you know, the meetings to be held on, I'll let you all talk about it. And again, I'm not trying to ruin your weekends. I think Mr. Martinez raises a valid point that perhaps one of the 2 days ought to be on a Saturday just for people who work and, you know, who have children and can't get there, who work second shift or whatever it might be.
Right.
I do think one day on a Saturday, I know it's an imposition on you all, but your lives are just a series of impositions when you have to deal with me, and I get that. But I do want it done on more than one occasion. I'm going to leave it to you all to figure out whether it needs to be two or three. That might be driven by the feedback you get at the meeting and the number of people that show up. But I'm perfectly happy to sign an order that directs counsel for the committee, counsel for the debtors, to conduct a town hall meeting to solicit input on the structure of a reorganized, call it a property owners association. I'm also happy for that order to contain a paragraph that all property owners are encouraged but not required to attend. I'm not going to order anybody to go. But I'm perfectly happy to put that in an order. I'm perfectly happy to put my name on it, and I'm perfectly happy for that order to be sent out, posted, whatever it might be. I'm not willing to go any further than that because, again, if the last thing I want, what makes all this work is people being able to disagree. And at the end of the day, you know, it's we still live in a majority rules country.
Right.
Except when it comes to the electoral system, but that's a whole other discussion.
And I guess I guess what I'm looking for, and I think we can put it in this order, to in essence reflect that if it's not signed by you, it's not an official communication about the case, nor what should happen in the case, I guess, is to be a little more clear on what I'm looking for is...
What would be the purpose of that?
To stop the confusion about what's happening, what you've said, what you've ordered, what needs to happen. Just to include in the order that, you know, any communication regarding an action by the court needs to have my signature.
Sure.
You know, it kind of restates the obvious, but it's not the obvious, really, for what's going on.
If you can put that in plain English, so long as it doesn't direct anybody to do anything,
absolutely,
then I'm perfectly comfortable with that.
Right.
Let me also make a suggestion. My memory is that you all told me that there was a website or something that people could go to.
Yes.
If you will contact Ms. Polnick, I'll get an audio file of today's hearing that you can post on the website, so if people want to listen to it, they can listen to it.
If people
think that that would be constructive, perfectly happy for that.
I think it's a good idea, too. I'll contact Ms. Polnick.
All right.
We do have a couple of lingering issues, though. I don't know if the court's done. I'm not trying to cut you off, but we have, as you know, exclusivity is sitting out there, and also this agreed injunction that we're going to have to deal with going forward. If we're going to take, you know, 6 weeks to conduct these meetings, I'm going to ask the court for some relief on both of those going forward.
No, fair enough. I mean, I want to talk about it. I am going to extend exclusivity for a while.
Okay.
Because what I want, I mean, And I'll just tell you again, I don't know all of the issues, but I've just been through this process too many times, standing where you all are. What this plan looks like, I could go to the board and write it right now. And so I'm going to extend exclusivity for a while because what I'm hoping I get is an agreed, jointly supported plan on how we fix this issue.
Right.
What I want is a continued status conference so that I understand what happened. And I would like to know how many people attended. I would like to know, I want to know what kind of notice went out, what the times were, how many people showed up. I'd like some idea of participation, questions, concerns, because it gives me data points.
Right.
And as you know, I'm a data point person. I collect data points and then I figure out in my own mind what they all mean. I am perfectly happy to, and I'm going to continue exclusivity through that continued status conference. I don't know what I will do then. In large part, if you all are working together, then you know, that's going to say one thing to me. If we are back to fighting, I'm going to invite Mr. Duran back, and I'm going to start issuing instructions that nobody's going to like. So, I mean, it's a longer answer than you asked for. I am going to extend exclusivity. We just need to pick a continued hearing date, and the extension will run through that date.
Right.
On the relief issue, my sense of it is right now is I am going to suspend for a very short while, subject to your ability to come in, and I'll tie all this to the next status conference. I'm going to suspend the collection of transfer fees for now. I do that only because it sends a bad message. I want this to be, if this is going to work, people have to, it's the whole thing. You can, you can pull the horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, if folks are going to do this and if folks are going to try to put aside history, as you've already seen, there is some difficulty in doing. If people are going to put aside history and try to figure out what to do going forward, there can't be a hammer out there. And so I'm going to take the hammer away. I understand this got economic implications to it, but it's not for very long. I mean, you know, how many houses are going to be bought and sold, you know, in the next 60 days? I mean, I know it's not zero, but it's also not 200.
No.
And so, you know, we'll come back and revisit that when we need to. In terms of are you looking to submit a budget, or do I need to go through various items and say, yes, you can spend money on this, or no, you can't? Or what is it you were contemplating?
Well, we have a budget already. I mean, I know it's a general budget that the court approved early on, and it's a very small budget. There's not much. But I'm looking for is some very specific items.
Okay.
We got to pay rent. It's a small amount.
Okay.
We got to pay rent for the office.
Mr. Rubio is not going to object to that.
I think we need to utilize some funds to get notice out, which is...
My guess is Mr. Rubio will support that.
That's correct. Good. I'd have to pull my budget, but there are miscellaneous items. I assume they just don't want us out enforcing deed restrictions.
I don't think until we get this issue further along, we don't want lawsuits filed.
Okay.
Unless it is... I mean, if somebody has got... You know, if somebody's cooking meth on the front lawn, I mean, I obviously expect you to be doing something.
How about this? How about any enforcement action will come here with me?
I'm perfectly comfortable with the understanding that there may be limits on my jurisdiction, but I'm perfectly happy for them to start here.
Yes. Even if it's in the form of some kind of permission, application, whatever, how about we come here first if we can't either get... You know, I'm making stuff up. We can't get construction stopped for a period of time. If there's just no resolution that we can come to, we'll tee it up here first. How about that? With me.
Does that work, Mr. Rubio, for the next 2 months?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense as far as if they're going to commence it, they basically seek authority from the courts that use funds to do that.
Okay.
I'd like permission for them to utilize and operate under the budget that was out there originally.
I don't remember what it said.
And quite frankly, I don't remember all the detail either. I do know the only objection that I've heard of is the lawyer that does enforcement action, and I know they have a problem with that. And if we agree to come here first, if we can just operate under that original budget.
I just don't remember what it said.
It's rent. It's
there was actually we don't know what it is. So mm-hmm. There's like a generalized annual amount, and those seem fine. There are like rent and notices and things like that. There were a couple categories that said additional information attached, and we never got that additional information. One of them is regarding professional fees. I think it was like $5,000 a month, and we weren't clear what that was.
So I'm assuming that that's all the
enforcement.
So
yes.
None, that's not going to get spent unless it comes here first, and I say yay. Why don't we do this? Why don't you all... You've heard me talk today. I know neither one of you expected me to do this. why don't you all talk, and if you can agree that certain areas of the budget are okay, then fine. You know, file a stipulation. If there is a problem on something, then let me know, and I'll get everybody back together.
Right.
Because that shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Shouldn't be. You're correct.
So we'll just do that. So with respect to the hearing today, I got the arguments. I actually haven't heard from Mr. Patterson,
no.
And I'm going to give him an opportunity to do that. I have a pretty good picture of where this stands, and I can certainly spin this back up very quickly. But my thought is, have you all got your phones? Can we pick a hearing day?
Yes, sir.
All right. And I forgot, where's Ms. Larson? Ms. Larson?
Yes.
How do you get access to the school? Can you just call and they say it's available or it's not available, or how
yes,
does that work?
Yes, go to the principal's office and she lets us know. You know, they may have something else going on.
Right, but they never say no. You can no longer use it.
I think during the first week or two, they're going to be real busy with back to school. But after that, I think we'll be able to get a room pretty easily. Would that be
only if they have a conflict?
Yeah, it's rare that we've had.
No, I get it. If you say it's got to be Friday instead of Thursday, that I get.
Saturday, I don't know. So
what I was worried about was we have a new policy that we need a $5,000 deposit and 60 days notice before we give you the auditorium.
No.
She's a neighbor.
Got it. All right. So today is August the 16th. What about afternoon of October the 25th? Too soon? Bad day?
Just to clarify, are we talking about one, or we do the whole series and then report back?
You do the whole series and report back.
And are you attending like three or more?
Well, actually, what I said was I want there to be at least two, and I got to get the two of you. The two of you aren't talking to one another. You're talking at one another now. It's a talent that lawyers have. I have it too. But I got to get you all to the point where you're talking to one another. And so if you haven't figured, what I'm doing is I'm forcing you to talk. I've told you it has to be two. Now you all got to go decide, should it be two? What day should it be on? Should it be three? I'm making you all talk. I'm being very transparent about it. Okay? So the proposal was, and you can tell me that it's too soon, it's too late, October 25th in the afternoon.
It's fine with me. I think that
that gives you all of September, 3 weeks of October, and another week.
It gives us 10 weeks, in essence, 8 weeks, 9 weeks. So if we do one every two or three weeks, that gives us a chance to get three in at least. I think that's good.
Yeah, if you go to the second one and three people show up, you probably don't need to do a third. I want there to be some common sense. All right, then I will set a continued hearing for Thursday, October the 25th, 2018. Shall we just say, for folks who came, and I know you've spent a large part of your afternoon, is there a time that's better for you all? If I pick 2 o'clock, is that bad? If I pick 3 o'clock, does that matter? If I pick 5 o'clock, is that better? Doesn't really matter. 5 o'clock. I got a thumbs down on 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Why don't we do this? So this is how you achieve compromise, 2:30. So 25th. Of October, 2:30, I'll extend exclusivity through the end of the day.
October 25th.
Yes.
Okay.
And they'll have a continued hearing on exclusivity. What I'm looking for is I want an order that you're going to put out to folks.
Yes.
And I want that separate. I want that short. I want it easy to read. If there are any heretofores or wherefores or anything like that in there, I'm just going to cross it out and send it back. I want something that normal people can read and understand, and they don't think we're idiots for using words that don't exist. All right?
Yes, sir.
With respect to the other issues, you can craft it in one order, you can craft it in two. You know, just go through those bullet points, preserve all your rights, and get that so that there's a record of what we did. All right?
We will.
Mr. Duran, can I, I've imposed on everyone today. Can I impose on you as well?
Sure.
And I fully understand that this is outside of your normal duties. This is a unique case. I'm going to ask, you if you would lend your expertise in trying to keep everybody pointed in the right direction.
Sure.
For folks who don't know him, this is Hector Duran. Mr. Duran is an assistant United States trustee. Did I get your title right?
Trial attorney.
Trial attorney for the U.S. trustee. Sorry. I've known Mr. Duran for 30 years. I never knew what his title was. It was just Mr. Duran. If I could ask you, just you've been in the back. You know where I'm trying to get
sure.
these folks to go. If you could just try to keep everybody pointed in the right direction, I would very much appreciate it. You know, I would love it if you would agree to attend one of those meetings, but I certainly can't and wouldn't order that. But I do think that sometimes, given your position in the world, that your attendance matters and you have no skin in the game, so to speak, and you can answer questions. You've also known me a long time, and you know how I react to things. But, again, I would greatly appreciate it if you consider it. I'm certainly not requiring you to go. But I would ask you, with respect to Mr. Patterson and Mr. Rubio and their respective constituents, if you would just kind of keep them headed in the right direction.
Sure.
I would greatly appreciate it.
I would love to.
All right. I
also have a question. There is this motion to remove committee members. I don't think I heard the court say that that's suspended for any period of time, but maybe it ought to be. I don't know.
I agree. I would like for you, if you believe you have a statutory obligation to do an investigation, I don't have the ability to tell you not to do your duty, nor would I. But I would like you not to file anything until at least the 25th.
Sounds good.
I'm hoping, again, folks, this is not my nature. I am not a trusting individual. Normally, I tear things apart, and then it's a lot easier for me to deal with ashes than it is for things that are standing. But I'm trusting you all to put aside your differences. Mr. Chang has stood up, said he's going to be part of the solution. He's going to talk to Mr. Martinez. And we're going to try and see if we can't find some common ground. And, you know, I'm expecting you all to behave as human beings, as neighbors, and one who doesn't want to see the bad side of a guy who wears a dress to work. All right? Mr. Rubio?
With respect to the motion to reconstitute or remove committee members, can we get continuance of that so that we don't spend a lot of money on that?
I don't want you to spend anything on it. What I've told Mr. Duran is I cannot tell him not to do his duty. I think that would violate my guidelines. If he's got something he feels like he has to do, then he will go do it. And I don't have any control over the executive branch of our government. But I've asked him not to file anything until after the 25th. And you know, Mr. Duran's he's known me for 30 years. I'll tell you what he heard. Jones said, just let it sit status quo until after we hear back from the 25th. I didn't want to say that, but I know he heard that. So we're all good. All right? Thank you, Mr. Duran. Anything else we need to do today?
I don't think so, Your Honor.
All right. Again, I really appreciate everyone's interest in coming. I know that this wasn't the hearing that you expected. It is the hearing that I wanted to hold because I think it's a positive thing for you all because where we were headed was not positive for anybody. So safe drive home, enjoy Garden Oaks, and make it a better place. We'll be adjourned.